Please remain standing and receive the word of God as it comes to us from Acts chapter 4, verse 32 to 37. Now the whole group of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one claimed private ownership of any possessions, but everything they owned was held in common. With great power, the apostles gave their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as owned lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold. They laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had need. There was a Levite, a native of Cyprus, Joseph, to whom the apostles gave the name Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. He sold a field that belonged to him, then brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Gracious God, we give you thanks for this day and for gathering us in this place. May your Holy Spirit, already present within us, stir and move our hearts. Give us ears to hear and eyes to see, hearts and minds to understand. And in understanding, may we turn to you, and in turning to you, find healing for our very lives. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Have you ever longed for the good old days? You know, the good old days of something or other? Look back with nostalgia on a special time of life? Oh man, I've been like living in that the last couple weeks. Recently been thinking of the good old days with my family as we're in this time of amazing transition as Ben graduates and gets ready for college. And we had Ben's graduation party here last night, and I put together this slideshow from the last 10 years of my wife making photo books online through Shutterfly. It was so easy. I just called up Ben's face, and it brought up every photo from the last 10 years. 1,500 photos of Ben, which I reduced to 250 for a 15-minute slideshow that I just kept on loop in here. But it was amazing. Person after person, like, came and, like, sat and watched, and it was just, man, to see Ben and his chubby cheeks and Sam and his chubby cheeks and just watch them grow up was amazing. Man, and you know, and so it's hard not to think back of first moving down here to the South Side right before Ben started kindergarten, to long, like, you know, for the good old days. But Carolyn and I recently had some young couples from the church over our house last week, and it was great. We really enjoyed the time together, but then I quickly remembered all the challenges that go along with those good old days of, like, when kids were small and little. Man, it was a lot of work. It's kind of funny how, like, great our memory becomes very selective, how we filter out all the stuff that was not so good about the good old days. And it made me appreciate the goodness of, like, the time I'm in right now, right? The interactions I have with Ben and Sam, which are different and absolutely good. And I enjoy our conversations and our time together. And I enjoy the fact that they go to bed before I do now. I mean, wait a minute, I got that wrong. I go to bed before they do. Let's go to them, like, good night, guys. They wander to bed at some point in time. I don't know when. But it's, like, natural for us to pine for the way things were. And often we open up Acts and think, oh, man, those are the good old days. Look at Acts 2 and Acts 4. The believers all getting along. And the title of this little pericope of scripture I just read is called The Believers Share Their Possessions. Oh, check them out. They're sharing stuff. They're living in community. Let's get back to that. And we could quickly forget all the stories of travail and difficulty. We forget the beatings they endured, the fractures in their relationship. Barnabas here becomes close buddies with Paul, and then they at one point, like, split ways because they have a disagreement. We forget about all the early church fights, about who was in and who was out, mostly about those darn Gentiles. What do we do with them? We forget that right after this little passage, Ananias and Sapphira come in and they get struck dead for not sharing their possessions. Kind of odd. Yeah. Not talking about that. So the question should be, do we really want to go back? Is it always the best thing to go back to the good old days? Because, you know, I think ideally if we can surrender ourselves to change in life, we can embrace, you know, what is good right before us. You know, instead of just like thinking about what was good back then, we have the opportunity to embrace what's good right now and to maybe grow and mature. Opportunity for greater consciousness and awareness. And maybe going back is not always the best idea. I mean, really, anybody here want to really go back to, like, personally being like a toddler again? You know, the good old days of being a toddler? You know, toddlers don't share very well. And let's consider the church. Man, the church has been living in the good old days mentalities for centuries. We've always been pining for the good old days, which is why we're struggling so much now as a church overall, because it's hard for us to understand and to embrace change and to see what is good about what is changing right before us. And think about it. The good old days of the early church, let's get back to that. First century church, let's just think one second about that, because there are some things that maybe haven't been so great or good about the church throughout history. In his book called The Great Spiritual Migration, Brian McLaren writes this. He says, "It will forever be true that for centuries, Christianity taught people to believe that gay people were extraordinarily evil. Similarly, it will forever be true that for centuries, Christianity taught people to believe that women were inferior to men and dark-skinned people were inferior to pale-skinned people, that the earth was in the center of the universe, that colonialism, slavery, and apartheid were justified, that kings had a divine right to rule, and that irrational behaviors were the result of demonic possession." The good old days? Maybe they're not really so good after all. And maybe rather than pining away for the good old days, maybe what if we look forward to what might be the better days that could be ahead? The church is changing. How we do church is changing. And the metaphor you've heard me use that I've stolen from others, that we're the church overall, is in the midst of every 500 years it goes through a rummage sale, where things get changed, and we toss out the old stuff and try to reclaim the stuff that might be old but still good for us. 500 years ago, that was the Reformation, you know, when the church went through a great upheaval and much good change came out of it. And we're going through that again. We're going through a big change, a massive shift that is ultimately for the better. Brian McLaren wrote a book that was significant in my life that helped me begin to understand that shift, called A New Kind of Christian. I wrote it in like 2001 or around there. But it helped me begin to understand the shift that our church culture is going through. And he also points out, McLaren, at the end of that paragraph that I just read, he also reminds us of this, that it's also forever true that eventually most Christians stop teaching those things. All the things that I just read about what we used to think about gay people and black people and women, that most Christians have stopped thinking that way. And we grew up. We matured. And the church is, again, going through a maturing process. And in this book, Brian McLaren identifies three different ways, three kind of migrations that are happening. There's a spiritual migration happening in the Christian church. We're moving away from systems of belief, dogmatic, like you need to believe it this way, this way, this way, to a way of living life. And we have a theological migration that's happening. We're moving away from the violent God of domination that many of us maybe have even been brought up with. And we're moving to a nonviolent God of liberation. And finally, there's a missional migration going on. We're moving away from organized religion to organizing religion. Recently, on our Facebook page, you list yourself as things on the Facebook page, and we are ourselves listed as like a religious center, and I guess because that's the option, we're a religious center. But there have been a couple recommended changes to how we list ourselves. People can come and recommend what you do on your Facebook page, which is fascinating. And somebody recommended we change to religious center / social service center. Or religious, and another one, like a couple weeks later, I don't know if it's the same person, but somebody else said religious center / charity. And Mike and I were reflecting on this, and we're like, you know what, that's good. I'm glad people see us, because this seems to be like the heart of sharing, right? The heart of sharing, the heart of trying to improve the lives of those around us. That there are ways of moving from organized religion, being the religious center, to organizing religion. Recently, I was chatting with someone who is close to turning 40. I won't give away any names. But this person said, I heard that the 40s is where it is at. You know, that these are going to be the best days of your life. Now, I remember thinking that same thing when I was about to turn 40. Now, I'm about to turn 50. And I'm starting to think, I bet the 50s is where it's at. Best days of my life yet to come. I mean, you never want to be sitting in that place where you think, wow, the best days are behind me. The best days have happened. Remember that Bryan Adams song, The Summer of 69? You know, where he's like, summer of 69, those were the best days of my life. And I always think, I feel bad for you, dude. You're just going through life pining away for high school. Oh, Lord have mercy, if those are the best days of your life. So what about hot metal? Are our best days behind us, or is the better yet to come? I'm inclined to think and hope and pray the better is yet to come. Last couple of weeks, we've had a couple different events on our newly refurbished, redesigned patio. And it's been amazing. I talked about this last week, about how what tearing down a few plastic walls can do for you. And how people have like engaged, and people were walking by and seeing these like community events happening. And it was some college girls driving by last night, right, Carolyn? Were you saying this? And they like rolled down the window and they were like, this is a church? This looks cool. Didn't they say something like that? You know? So there are like ways that we can grow. There are ways that we can be even more of a community that serves and that shares. Now, there are many good things about our days as a community over the course of these last 14 years. Yeah, and the weirdness of watching that slideshow was also like reflecting on the last 10 years of hot metal, because it's just infused with hot metal and my kids growing up in this community. And one of the good things that we have particularly been able to enjoy over these years is that we have always had, from the beginning, two full-time pastors in a small urban church. It is really unusual for a church of our size and particular economic space to have two full-time pastors. And it's been a good and fortunate thing for us to have. But sometimes when you press into change, sometimes the good things change as well, not just all the bad things. In April last year, we realized that in the long run, actually, even in the short run, that our budget was unsustainable, and that Mike and I are over half the budget, and that soon we're going to hit a crisis point in our ability to support the ministry of this church, that our giving does not match our current budget. So what we did was decide that Mike and I would have a cage match wrestling to raise funds and decide who's going to be the pastor of this place moving forward. No, we didn't do that. We did something better. Although, no, that wouldn't be fun. We began a missional discernment process last fall to clarify our vision and our mission and to consider what changes we need to make in our staff structure by January of 2018. And so the result of that work is right here in this little handout that I gave you. And we've been touching on this a little bit at the beginning of the year, mentioned this, kind of brought it up a couple times. Lauren Wolcott graciously led our council and our leadership through this process last fall. And recently we've gotten down to some of the details of like, okay, how are we going to take some of what we talked about and planned for last fall and make it a reality? And I'm not going to read this whole thing. I just wanted to put it before you so you can see some of the good work that was done as we have been like in discernment about what's next, what are the days ahead for Hot Metal. And the first part is our mission. Our mission, which why we exist, which hasn't changed. This mission statement has not changed in the 14 years that we've been around. And out of that mission statement, we discussed our core values. What are we committed to? Participating in communion, demonstrating compassion, respecting and appreciating difference, and seeking justice. And I'll let you can read through those at your leisure. And out of these things, out of our mission, out of our core values, what do we want to work to achieve? If Hot Metal were to fulfill our mission as guided by our values, the result would be that we would see wholeness, no more lonely, hungry, hopeless, or homeless in Pittsburgh, and for every person to understand their belovedness. All right, that's huge. It's a huge vision. But the key there is wholeness and belovedness, all centered around our core values, which are all centered around Jesus Christ. We want people to experience wholeness and to know their belovedness. And so out of all that work, we came up with our goals for this year and next, which I am going to read to you. Here are the seven goals, the priorities that we have set for this community moving forward, that we would reach individuals and families who do not yet know they have a home in Hot Metal. We would encourage bonds and relationships within our community. We would improve lives by investing in the poor and homeless. We would ignite and leverage the creative power of our people. We would work alongside other organizations in pursuit of our mission. We would use the asset of our building to its greatest potential, i.e. patio. We would optimize the well-being and effectiveness of our staff. And then some things that we are actually doing, some action items that we're doing to, as we have discussed this, to reach these goals. We're going to do some more intentional outreach to the college campuses in the area. We're going to promote our Kintsugi Mental Health Service, which will be starting up again in September, a once-a-month service for better mental health that we think would appeal to a lot of people. We're going to, Jillian's going to continue to help us lead us in creating a greater outreach to the deaf community and ministry. We're going to have a fall retreat, and we're going to continue our quarterly seasonal community meals, where we've been doing a Seder. We recently had a Pentecost meal, and we're going to create more of those opportunities. We're going to create some space for contemplative prayer practice for those that would like to participate in that. Have quarterly community art nights. We're going to coordinate with Derek Morris and work with Habitat for Humanity. We got some things planned out for them, with them. We're going to be offering a cooking class that Mike just talked about. Create open patio space for community gatherings. Broaden our outreach of web social media presence. So these are things that are already kind of in process. People on staff, people in leadership that are thinking about this, working on this. And this is really my invitation to you to share with us, to share who you are, to share your talents, to share your time, to share your resources to help make these things be. Now that last one, the optimization of our well-being and the effectiveness of our staff. Well, January 2018 is coming up pretty quick. Last year seemed like far away. Now, it's going to be here before we know it. So we put together a task force of folks. They're going to help make the necessary changes for our staff structure so that we could be more financially sustainable in regards to this mission. And Mike and I understand that in 2018, we'll be serving in a different capacity in this community. Some of our other staff members might be serving in a different capacity in this community. What that looks like or what's going to emerge, we're not sure, but we know we will no longer be full-time, and that's going to be a challenge. It'll be a challenge for us, challenge for this community, but also, hopefully, an opportunity. One of Mike's taglines is, I'm glad we're in this together. And it's so true. And if we really are in this together, then our better days can still be ahead of us and not behind. But we need your participation to make that happen. We need your participation in the life of this community, and the opportunities to serve and participate abound. But we also need your financial support. That crisis point I talked about, you know, that we knew was coming last year, well, it's here. We were hoping to really get to the end of this year before making these staff changes, but there is some concern that we're at the point and we don't have enough funding and giving to do that. Maybe you remembered Heidi talked about something about stress in her life, and praying for her jobs. And right now, she said we have, and I'm sharing this to help Heidi, so it's no longer just on her. The burden is no longer just on you, Heidi. I'm also sharing this because, like, we are a place that has always been very transparent about who we are and what's going on financially and otherwise, right? And we are a place that does not have an endowment. We do not work. We're not drawing off any percentages in our endowment. So, like, currently, like, with cash flow, whatever's in the bank, it's all about cash flow. Cash flow is king. That's one thing I've learned in 14 years of being in finance meetings. I'm like, well, I think we're going to get this amount of money. Thinking does not matter. You can think all you want. We're going to get that kind of money. Until that money shows up, we don't have it. And I've learned that's true. That's a really true thing. So right now, we have enough to get us through July 20th. Yeah, so July 20th, you know, it's a couple weeks away. So we're all right. I'll be in Mexico, so good luck for you guys. And I don't share that again like it's some scare tactic. You know, all right, everybody, you know, we're going to pass the offering basket around again. Not a bad idea. But, you know, you better give. We're going to be out of business. You know, I share really, you know, a couple hopes. Well, you won't be surprised if you show up some Sunday morning, you're like, uh-oh. Guess we're done. Or more, hopefully, you'll show up and be like, sweet, we're still open. Yes, the Lord has provided for another week. And that's one thing, being a pastor in this community, God has kept me praying for years that he would provide for just one more week. And here we still are. Right now, this moment, we gather the good that we are here for another week. But we do need your help. We need you to help us get through this time of transition so we have some time and space to make the right changes for our community and for our staff. We need your help to get to the better days of what's to come. So, of course, I encourage you to sign up and be a giver to this community, to go onto our website and to sign up to give a regular, like, weekly or monthly donation. It automatically happens, so you don't have to think about it. Because it's a challenging time to be church everywhere. This is not a challenge that's just facing our community. Talk to any of my pastor friends. We're all in this boat. We are all in it together. And it's kind of sinking a little bit. But that's just because God's doing something new. And changes are happening. And there's a new way of being church that's being envisioned. I'm currently coaching 3 students over at the seminary who are all church planners, church starters. And as they're all starting their thing, they all do it with the realization that these communities that they're trying to start are not going to fully sustain them financially. That it's all about bivocational. It's all about finding other ways to help communities in Christ continue to sustain themselves. And so at the end of, like, our coaching time together, I shared, well, guys, I'm on that same journey. And I, too, might only be half-time starting next year. So there, they gave you a coach that's going to be half-time next year. But they appreciated that. The one guy was like, oh, great. I'm looking forward to seeing you go through that process. I was like, thank you. I'm glad somebody is. So one of the things that we're doing this summer, as we've been exploring Acts, is in August, we're going to engage in a series of conversations, a conversation, and we're calling it Why Do Church? We're going to take 3 weeks in August and explore, like, why do we do church? It goes along with our Acts summer series. It goes along with, like, the vision that we're trying to set out for what's to come. It's going to be about what church is and what church can and should be. So we're going to look at questions like, why do church? Why do you do church? What should church do? And what are your questions about what church is? And then in September, we're going to actually offer a series, a new membership class on Wednesday night for 4 weeks. And so if you've been floating around here for a while and are thinking about joining, that's going to be your opportunity to press into that. If you've been here around and been a member, it's still an opportunity for you to come and learn about some new things about our community, about what's going to be. Everybody's invited to participate in this class. So that's just some of the stuff that we're pushing into as we face, you know, our own significant challenges. So I invite you to share with us. Share your prayers. Share your resources, your time, your energy, and also share what you can financially. We certainly appreciate it and covet the fact that we are indeed in this together. So the way I want to close this is I want to pray for the folks that are going to be serving on this task force, so you can be praying for them as well as they do this important discernment work. So I'm going to ask Tom and Derek to come up, and MJ and Anthony, and is Laura here? Laura Phillips? Laura's not here, but Laura Phillips, who's on our council, will also be serving. And Lauren, I'm going to invite you up as well. So you're going to be at the first meeting, and you're kind of a consultant in this process. So please come on up. And Tom, you're getting paid for twice today. Going to Mexico? Helping. Yeah, yeah. So church, can we gather around again? Gather around these folks, lay hands on them, and let's pray. God of grace and love and mercy and compassion, we are so thankful that you are good. And we are so thankful for the ways that you have nourished this community over the years and have provided for it. And here we are again in a space where we're turning to you in our need. We are looking for wisdom. We are looking for clarity. We are asking God for your spirit to move in us, that we might know what it is to have our better days ahead of us. And we pray for the wisdom for this team of people, that we are so grateful that you have called to this community and to this space, that as we work together, your spirit would clearly lead us and guide us in how it is we are to reach those around us and let them know their belovedness and help them find wholeness and the practical stuff of what does that look like? What kind of staff can we put together that will help serve those purposes and allow us to do this ministry for years and years to come? So God, we thank you, and we entrust this all to you, and we ask this all in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen, amen. Amen.